Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to talk about three common misconceptions that people have about the sign of Scorpio. So this is a part of an ongoing series that I've been doing for a while now on common misconceptions about each of the zodiac signs. If you want to go back and watch any of the previous talks in the series, they are in the archives on my YouTube channel. So there's a playlist, I believe, in there that you can check out. And you can find all of the signs up to Scorpio. So this is where we're at in the series right now. One of my favorite signs to talk about, it's a sign that's easily misunderstood. I have some Scorpios in my family, and my mother in particular is a Scorpio. So learned a lot about Scorpio energy growing up. And most of you guys out there probably know that Scorpio is one of the signs that gets some of the worst stereotypes or some of the most common misconceptions about any zodiac sign tend to land in Scorpio. So we are here to vindicate our Scorpios today. At any rate, before I dive into that, I want to remind you guys that my new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, coming up on November 13th. Check it out on my website. Go to the courses page on nightlightastrology.com. Click on the first year course tab, and you can learn all about my upcoming program. Just a little over 3 weeks left to register. If you have any questions about the program, feel free to email me, info@nightlightastrology.com. The early bird payment is only available for a couple more weeks, so make sure that you take advantage of that. There's also a payment plan if you need it, and need-based tuition for people who might need some assistance. Can't wait to start a new group. We have more registrations coming in every day now, and I'm really excited to launch a new year worth of studying ancient astrology together with all of you guys. So hope to see some of you there. And now let's dive into talking about Scorpio. So Scorpio is a solid water sign, and it comes in the middle of autumn in the Northern Hemisphere, which is the orientation through which the zodiac came about. And we also will find that this is the temple of Mars, the yin or feminine temple of Mars, the nocturnal space of Mars. And also this place is, not everyone knows the classical dignities, but Scorpio is also the fall of the moon. And that's really important because we're going to be talking about that today. And a lot of the misconceptions really come from people maybe catching a whiff of this potentially really difficult dignity of the moon in Scorpio, and then sometimes jumping to pretty wild conclusions, in my opinion, based on that dignity in particular. So we're going to talk about that today for sure. All right. So here are the three most common misconceptions that I hear about this sign. This sign is said to be intense. And usually what goes along with that will be, oh, they're so obsessive or jealous or possessive or something like that. But intensity is a word that gets used, I think, thrown around to describe sort of various qualities that are associated with the sign of Scorpio. This is the sign of the scorpion, right? So kind of a dark, intense looking creature that can sting you, it can hurt, and very protective and so forth, hides, lurks in dark places. And you know, a lot of those images are really unfortunate and not necessarily getting at the heart of what Scorpio is all about from the standpoint of the ancient alternation of light and dark, as we'll see in a minute. The other one is destructive. Scorpios are destructive. So you'll hear some different words being used, but, you know, watch out. And Scorpios are intense and they like to destroy people. They like to destroy things. They like to create drama, you know, something like that. And then maybe the third one is vindictive, you know, vengeful, you know, sort of they don't like other people's happiness or something like that. So first and foremost, if you're a Scorpio rising, sun or moon, those are the three major placements that people will tend to, or you have maybe a stellium in Scorpio, people will tend to associate, you know, to associate you in astrological circles with that Scorpio energy. And then here comes the stereotypes. And before you know it, you feel misunderstood. People don't want to hang around with you because you smell like a Scorpio. You know what I mean? So it's like, this is so terrible. All right. Well, let's talk about what Scorpio is driving at seasonally. What is Scorpio doing in terms of the solar cycle of the year? Remember that the foundation of the zodiac in ancient astrology really begins with the alternation of light and dark. In this sense, light and dark are metaphysical properties that the sun just happens to represent in its rising and falling from the relative orientation of the Northern Hemisphere. Anyone can participate in this symbolism because it's divinatory, symbolic, and not causal. So let's go into a astronomy program that I like to use. You guys who follow my channel know I like to use the Starry Night program. And let's take a look at this right here. So Here is a picture of the night sky, and I've just backed it up to approximately the autumn equinox here in the Northern Hemisphere. So first of all, what I want to do is I want to advance what we're looking at, and I want to do so one day at a time so you can see what's happening from Libra forward. We talked about Libra in our last video. As the sun crosses the celestial equator, which is the halfway marker between the longest day of the year and the shortest day of the year, as it crosses that marker, going downward toward the south, that is the fall equinox. That is the fall of the sun, the place where the sun was said to be depressed or in its fall. The neighboring sign of Scorpio is the place where the moon is in its fall. You're seeing the lights going into their fall because literally the quality of light is dropping. Okay, so now watch what happens to the sun. We're just drawing day by day after the fall equinox. And you can see the sun going down in the sky. So now we're into about October 25th or 26th as I'm recording this. And you can see that the sun has dropped significantly below this red line and is now heading day by day down toward the southern horizon. When we get all the way down to around December 20th, 21st, you get to the winter solstice, which is our shortest day of the year from the Northern Hemisphere standpoint, at which point the darkness is maximum. And then from that point forward, though the darkness remains all the way up until Aries, when the light takes over, the light is rising again day by day. So in this portion of the solar year, we are in the darkening of the dark, which means that darkness has taken over since the fall equinox, but darkness is also rising or increasing. So the empowerment of darkness is happening. Darkness is growing stronger, is growing more, is increasing. And darkness increasing might seem strange because typically we think of light increasing and the absence of light being dark. This is not the way that the ancient astrologers were thinking of things in terms of the metaphysics. You have the idea of darkness rising or darkness increasing. And so in the sign of Scorpio, it is in the place of its most solid, persistent growing. You have darkness growing most intensely or in the most concentrated form. In the same way that in the sign of Taurus, for example, the polar opposite sign, you have the spring qualities growing with the most intensity and fixity. So this is called a solid sign. And what it means in there is that there's something very powerful because it's not only sustaining darkness, but it's growing darkness as it sustains it. Like you might imagine like a growth spurt of a child who's becoming more and more solid, able to walk around and do things, but also growing every day. That's kind of what solid signs point to. Something is stable, but something is also increasing greatly. So light is increasing, or darkness is increasing in all the fixed signs. In the sign of Scorpio, darkness has taken over, but darkness is also increasing as it's stabilized. So there's this feeling of immensity to the fixed signs, and Scorpio has the feeling of immensity, but also darkness. So yin and darkness can mean a lot of different things. It doesn't mean evil, it doesn't mean bad, although it could mean those things, but just like light doesn't always mean good. So these terms are relative. Our world, from the standpoint of ancient astrology, the sublunary sphere, our material soup that we're in as spirit souls, is relative. Light and dark can mean different things. Going up and going down can mean different things. We talked about that in other talks. I've talked about that in other talks with regard to, say, the nodes of the moon. Going upward toward the north has a general meaning of increase. Going downward toward the south has a general meaning of decrease, for good or bad. So these are the kinds of things that you'll see, the relativity of these terms is really important so that you don't immediately start thinking Scorpio. Intensification of darkness means evil, means bad. That's where most of the stereotypes about Scorpio actually come from. All right, so now that you guys have a feeling for what's happening, you have this intensification of the dark qualities. Remember what Mars is all about. This is the Scorpio is the sign that is the home or home temple of Mars. This is Mars and its feminine power. So you have, or nocturnal, depending on how you want to phrase it. So yin, even you could say. So that means that we're talking about the degenerative, destructive qualities that are inherent in nature. Whether you're talking about the fact that things tend toward entropy, or that things fall apart, or that there is a certain amount of breakdown and chaos that happens in life that's dovetailed almost in seamlessly at times with birth and with creation and with generation. This is why Taurus, its polar opposite sign, where the light is growing and everything's emerging and in the sort of spring energy of the light going upward toward the longest day of the year, gives you that quality of sensuality, abundance, the Venus ruled sign. But remember that the two go hand in hand. They're a dyad, archetypally speaking, that creation and destruction are an eternal cycle without beginning or end from the standpoint of ancient metaphysics. So when we're talking about Scorpio, we're talking about the destructive potency of nature that is also inherently a part of creation. We're talking about darkness and ugliness. It's also inherently a part of beauty and in all the constructive qualities that we might like to just compartmentalize with Venus. It's when we think of the dark qualities as only being evil or bad or ugly or something like that, that we get in trouble, because destruction and decay and degeneration are so vital that we have a close understanding of those things to be well-rounded sort of spiritualists in our everyday lives. So if I had to look at this list again and say, oh, Scorpios are intense, they're instructive, they're destructive, jealous, possessive, obsessive, it's really important to understand that a lot of those just come from the fact that you have an intense Mars-ruled time of the year, where the darkness is increasing and things in nature, as the light dies, things die. So you get that kind of archetypal symbolism of death. And also what comes with death, of course, is chaos. Where there is light in life, there's a sense of order and cohesiveness. And when death comes in and when degeneration comes in, there's a feeling of chaos that comes in. Most people who don't have a good or healthy relationship with chaos, with this side of the cycle, we'll look at those things and we'll judge them: bad, evil, destructive, intense, malefic, etc. Those who do have an understanding of these, this aspect of nature, tend to not judge or look upon these qualities as any better or worse than any other sort of seasonal quality in the cosmos. So that's important. It's just understanding that a lot of people have an aversion to Mars in general. A lot of people have an aversion to destruction in general. A lot of people have an aversion to darkness in general. And that aversion creates judgments. And it's the judgments that are problematic. It's the inability to understand and have a healthy relationship with those qualities that tends to create the stereotypes, not necessarily Scorpios themselves. Now, there is something to the stereotypes, which we also want to look at. So in order to drive a little bit, get a little deeper into this, which is appropriate for Scorpio, I suppose, let's imagine for a moment that what kind of archetype, we've been talking about this archetype of autumn and the driving forces of destruction, the rising of yin and darkness, of chaos, of things falling apart, the center that cannot hold, and so forth. And this is where the lights fall apart and so forth. So what is it like to live with a more acute psychic awareness of those particular forces or realities, right? What is that like? Well, let's just imagine that I like to use this example of a watchdog. Let's say you're, what are those watchdogs called? I can't remember their names. There's a type of watchdog that, I can't remember, not like a pit bull, but, hold on, I'll look it up. A Cane Corso. I believe that's what they're called. I was thinking of that one in my head. So have you ever seen any of these dogs? There's lots of different, I guess, breeds of watchdogs, but I had an experience of a Cane Corso one time. Maybe they're called Cane Corsos. I think it's Cane. Anyway, I was walking down the street one time. There was a Cane Corso that was on somebody's porch, and they had one, you know, they had an electric, or not electric, what do they call it? Invisible fence. That's what I'm thinking of. And it looked like a family dog. Like, I'm sure it was a very nice dog, but when I was walking down the street, it was slumbering. And as soon as I came by, it like perked up and it looked at me, and I swear to God, I thought the devil was looking at me. Right. And so there's this way in which Well, okay, to go back to the story for just a second. So as I was walking along, I like just didn't make eye contact. I just went about my way. And it was like, definitely, I like looked back as I was like pretty much out of view and it was still looking at me, you know, just had that look of like, I'm scanning the perimeter. Are you dangerous? Are you a threat? You know, it didn't growl at me or anything, but so if you can imagine for that animal, there's an inborn sense of scan the perimeter, protect the territory, be aware of anything that might represent a threat. And you know how watchdogs are too. Like amazing thing about watchdog breeds is like, if you're up to something, there's something a little shady going on in your psyche, or if you don't look right, or you don't smell right, or something isn't right about your intentions, those dogs are like, they have radars for that stuff, right? Why? Well, they have a radar for anything that could be a threat, anything that could be potentially destructive, right? Anything that could be dangerous or invasive. So you have to imagine that if you're living in a Scorpio psyche, you have a heightened awareness. You're like a watchdog in a sense. You have heightened awareness of the reality of destructiveness in nature. You're just more tuned into it. You can see, feel, sense wherever there might be something that could destroy. So you'll have one type of Scorpio personality, which tends to be very, very much a guardian. A kind of advocate, protector, someone who's very aware of BS, someone who really doesn't like the superficial, someone who can really feel and sense any kind of danger lurking around the perimeter. That could be in someone's psyche in the middle of a conversation. That could be, in all kinds of relationships in the job. I can't tell you, I worked in Washington, D.C. for 10 years. And I mean, I had a lot of people who were in the military, cybersecurity, Department of Defense, Scorpios that I saw in my job that doing readings. So you'll see people who have a heightened awareness of potential destructive elements in nature, and the natural response is to protect. And so that protectiveness can slide into obsessiveness, and obsessiveness about potential destruction or potential superficiality or potential fraud or potential, you know, danger or something like that. So obsessive, paranoid. And of course, another response that people tend to have when they have a heightened awareness of something like that is that they may blow things out of proportion. They may not perceive things exactly as they are. They may have a tendency to perceive the minuscule threat, but experience it like it's a major threat. So possessive, jealous, obsessive, etc., all of those things, worried, they come from a response often enough to a heightened awareness of the destructive elements. Now, one thing, just again, just to kind of advocate for my Scorpios out there, we don't live in a world where that's necessarily appreciated. We live in a world where it's like, pretend there is no darkness. Superficiality is every day, all over the news, all over advertising, all over everything. If you try to approach the topic of superficiality, of what's lurking below the surface, of what's real that people don't want to look at or talk about, you are immediately labeled as a pain in the ass, especially if you're a woman. She's really intense, or she's high strung, or she's high maintenance, or something like that. Or, and especially, you know, guys too, don't talk about your emotions or something like that. You know, you get the guys who say, you might have a more acute emotional awareness of things, but a lot of times guys are told that that's, it's not very, at least culture tells us, you know, it's not very masculine to demonstrate intense feelings about anything. So my point is that the world isn't necessarily set up to appreciate the level of heightened awareness that Scorpios have about the destructive elements in nature, that a lot of Scorpios are actually in awareness of, with a desire to be helpful or to be protective or to move something when it needs to be moved. Because the other thing is that we know that if you let destructive things stagnate, they lurk, they become monsters, they become worse, they grow more malicious in time. If you try to push your demons into a closet, they become really big monsters, right? And Scorpio also has an awareness that, look, destruction is just a part of nature, and you have to like give it its space, address it, allow for it to be there. And but allowing for it to be there, well, that's not fun. You know what I mean? That's stressful. That's dramatic. That's intense. So there's such a low tolerance for authenticity, for looking at shadow, for dealing with the destructive element of the psyche, of nature, of each other, of life itself, that a lot of what Scorpios pick up on are people's projections. You're a monster, you're intense, you're destructive, et cetera, when actually, if you talk to most Scorpios I've ever known, including one of my best childhood friends, including my own mother, et cetera, are people who may have at times, maybe they're too much of a heightened awareness of that destructive principle or quality, but most of the time are really sweet, gentle people who also have a kind of vigilance or guardian-like quality, just like a watchdog. Those Cane Corsos, I've actually pet one before and hung out with one before. They're sweet dogs, you know what I mean? But, you know, if you, they're going to address your shade. They're going to growl at you and they can probably tear you apart if you mean any, mean any harm. So, but, you know, I find that, these stereotypes are mostly unfortunate. And we have to, if you want to empathize with and treat your Scorpios with love, don't ever invalidate, for one thing, don't ever invalidate what a Scorpio senses to be a potential underlying darkness or reality or topic. It's kind of like you gotta, if you're going to move in to the watchdog, you know, you need to move in carefully and without any, you know, you want to be, gentle and kind and, don't disrespect them by not taking them seriously. A lot of the times what I've found, for example, is that there may be with some Scorpios, like an exaggerated sense of fear, anxiety about things, or there may be a tendency to get a little obsessive or attached to something, but it's invalidating what a Scorpio sees, feels, thinks, experiences, that the diffusion happens. It's when you try to say, oh, you're getting paranoid, you're blowing things out of proportion, whatever, that they tend to lock down because they're like, I can't trust you because you don't see it. And if you don't see it, then you're not with me here because I can see it and feel it. The trick is to say, no, I can see it and feel it too. I'm just not sure it's going to be as bad as you think it is. Or, yeah, I can see it and feel it too. What do you think we should do? And then if they propose something that's a little too extreme, be like, you know, I get where you're coming from. That feels a little too extreme to me as a way of dealing with something. I mean, it's just like, and I maybe this is just because I'm a Cancer, right? And I get along with Scorpios really well. But my experience is like, just take your Scorpios seriously and don't have judgments in your head about Scorpios being intense and destructive and all this stuff. Now, I'm going to talk out both sides of my mouth because on the other hand, if a Scorpio's heightened awareness of these things makes them paranoid, tends to be driven by fear, a little bit of an obsessiveness and so forth, you can potentially have Scorpios who like to almost like create destructive, dramatic experiences because there's a feeling of fear can be very isolating. And we can be very isolated by our fear or our worries or our concerns. And the feeling of not being taken seriously along with the fear and the way that fear can isolate us can make us want to bring other people into our sphere by sort of dragging them into it through destructive or dramatic qualities. And that's almost always when you get some of those stereotypes actually being true. So, you know, if you're a Scorpio out there, some of the best advice, you know, that I've seen given to Scorpios and have given myself to Scorpios over time is like, if you feel alone because of the alertness that you have to those darker realities, you know, try not to create union or closeness with others by drawing them into it, right? It's much better for a Scorpio to just be who you are, which can at times when you're with people who, you know, can't go as deeply as you may feel like a little bit of a facade, but you can't force people to go there. On the other hand, if you just act yourself and be yourself, and don't force anything, you'll find that people will naturally start opening up and sharing the deeper and more mysterious interesting, intense places where there's a lot of life-giving power. And Scorpios, I find that if you just hang in there with people and just be yourself, just even your presence, your awareness of those things causes people to eventually drop their guard and let you in. And then very deep bonds of trust can be formed. On the other hand, like another big thing for Scorpios is you got to be really careful about jealousy of the light. You know, it's like, you're not necessarily a sunny day diurnal creature. You have to be okay with that. And also not resent people who maybe it's not that they're superficial, but maybe they live in a different sphere where they're on, let's say, the light half of the year archetypally, and their interests are in the sustaining qualities of light, or like a Leo, or the growth oriented youthful qualities of light that's very sensual and abundant and sort of simple and sweet, like a Taurus, you know? So again, my advice would be like, just let people be who they are, just be, and trust that in being yourself, that's what matters more than whether or not other people are authentic. Are you authentic? And if you are, you'll naturally draw to yourselves the people who can go to the places that you most need to go. Some Scorpio advice. At any rate, I would also say that remember that there's life-giving power in the depths, right? So that destructive yin energy that feels and looks on the surface chaotic, people will easily call it evil, et cetera. And again, most of what happens with Scorpios, we project those qualities onto Scorpio because we're uncomfortable with their reality. Scorpios are not necessarily uncomfortable with reality, which is why you'll often see Scorpios in really intense places, but as very steady presences within them. For example, my mom worked in the ER for a long time as a nurse. She's a Scorpio sun. You know, trauma counseling, grief, death, dying. Some of those themes are just a little easier for a Scorpio because, like, yeah, it's part of life. And there's not this kind of resistance to it. Although sometimes you will find that Scorpios can be very secretive or defensive and like, but a lot of that is, by the way, is really just about gaining the trust that people are not going to judge you because of the real stuff, you know? So last thing on my list here is remember that the Buddha was also born under a full moon in Scorpio. One of the most beautiful things that can develop through Scorpio is just being themselves and learning how to abide in themselves and be in touch with those darker qualities while not forcing anyone to go there, not being overly paranoid about them, being it to be a very trusting Scorpio. And when you do so, you really start moving into the space that the Buddha talked about, which is this almost Zen-like space where you're able to be fully accepting of both, you know, full moon Scorpio, right? So you've got the sun in Taurus. You're able to be in the blissful garden of life, but fully aware of the demons that are walking around in the garden at the same time. And I think it's that simultaneous understanding that both Scorpio and Taurus are really trying to cultivate. For example, we talked a lot when we talked about the sign of Taurus, we talked a lot about the underlying urge or almost bloodlust for, there's a bloodlust in Taurus that has to do with youth and power and the, sometimes like the desire for, that the Venusian desire is really being fueled by like blood. For example, the bull was one of the animals most commonly sacrificed in the ancient world in order to receive the power of heaven that would give abundance. But there's like blood and murder in that too. You know what I mean? So the Scorpio Taurus axis has a lot more in common than you might think. So you kind of stay aware of that and think of the Buddha as someone who is embodying that axis really nicely in the middle path, and someone who, you know, sitting under the Bodhi tree. So this is an enlightened natural landscape, very peaceful. He's being tempted by demons, you know, at the same time. So we walk with angels and demons through the world all the time. And just because Scorpios are more aware of that, the those darker forces does not mean that darkness doesn't have its right place in the world. And, you know, imagine if you were Scorpio and you had really acute awareness of that. So it's important that we do this series so we can really have compassion for all the signs in the different places that we all come from. Anyway, I hope this has been helpful. Thank you all for listening. If you have thoughts and ideas to share about the sign of Scorpio, please feel free to leave comments in the chat box below. I love hearing from you guys. It's always interesting, especially if you have a Scorpio sun, moon, or rising out there. How do you experience it? What other insights can you add to this talk? I'm certainly not, this is not the final word on the topic by any means. But these are some of the things I've observed over time. All right, that's what I've got for today. I hope you guys have a good one. Take it easy. Bye.